Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Every week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington. Each week we talk with a different community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And I'm really happy this morning to have with us Trudy Weddle. Trudy's the Vice Chancellor of Enrollment Services and Student Success at Ivy Tech here in Bloomington. Good morning, Trudy.
Good morning, Denise. Thanks for having me.
Oh, great to have you. So what does the person with your title do at Ivy Tech? Tell us a little bit about your job roles.
Sure. Yeah. So I currently oversee all of student affairs for the Ivy Tech Bloomington campus. So it's a wide variety of departments ranging from financial aid to admission, the registrar, advising, student success and retention, student life. I mean, everything that falls under the umbrella of what is student affairs. I have the opportunity to work alongside all of those teams and help support the mission of the college.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds wonderful. I bet you this is probably starting to be a busy time for you folks. And I would think that this would be a good time if somebody's thinking about starting a new career, maybe continuing with some classes they may have started, thinking about a job change. Is this a good time? Should they be doing something more active right now?
Absolutely. So our summer and fall registration both just recently opened in the last couple of weeks, March 22nd, I believe. So right now, students have an opportunity to sign up for both summer and fall, or they can choose one or the other if they want to do that. And now more than ever, it's a great opportunity for those wanting to pursue educational opportunities, maybe change careers, increase potential wage earnings. It's a good time to come back to school, especially with Ivy Tech. So in alignment with the state's Next Level Jobs Initiative, there's currently a grant opportunity known as the Workforce Ready Grant. And the Workforce Ready Grant is really aimed at five what are considered high demand, high wage career sectors. And within those sectors, there are short-term certifications and technical certificates. So both typically you're looking at sometimes a semester or maybe three semesters to complete those certifications and technical certificates. And upon completion, those do lead to those high wage, high demand career opportunities. But the even bigger selling point initially on the front end is that those are all tuition free workforce certification opportunities for students to pursue. And that's regardless of income levels. So when you think about financial aid and FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid, that is typically the driving force behind aid opportunities that students receive. That actually is not applicable for the Workforce Ready Grant. It doesn't take a look at income to determine eligibility, which I think is good for the listeners to know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So with this workforce readiness, this next level jobs, what kind of careers you talk about these five areas of interest? What sorts of things are they? What kind of careers would fall under that?
Yes, there are a wide variety of career opportunities. So just to hit on some of our more, popular ones, just for our service area, you know, thinking about job demand and things like that, a lot in healthcare. So we have CNA, EKG, phlebotomy. You can actually get a full technical certification as a healthcare specialist, which also incorporates a few different certifications of the ones that I just mentioned there. EMT has been really, really popular, as well as the technical certification for paramedic science. And then beyond healthcare, I mean, we also have stuff within the business industry and cybersecurity. Tends to be pretty popular for us and in relation to our proximity to Crane and some other industry as well. So those are really popular. And then also in industrial technology. So we have welding certifications that students could pursue tuition free that lead to very high wage, high demand career opportunities. So a little bit of everything.
I was going to say, yeah, that's quite a range there. So if somebody's listening and they're interested, you know, in pursuing enrollment or registration, is that something, do they come to campus? Do they do it online? What's the process for, do they go talk to a counselor if they're interested in some of these things? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. We really invite students and prospective students to do whatever they're most comfortable with. So if that's coming onto campus, then that's great. We welcome them onto the campus and we can assist them there. They can also contact us by phone. So our phone number is 812-330-6013. And we have an amazing team that's staffing that line, multiple people actually. And they connect this the student or prospective student to the correct department. From there, you know, in this virtual environment, it's been a really unique opportunity because we're able to then, if we need to, schedule a virtual connection with the student. Mm-hmm. So maybe switch that phone appointment over to a Zoom mm-hmm. session so you can see your admissions counselor or an academic advisor virtually face to face. So really, really a unique opportunity to connect with students and prospective students wherever they are.
That sounds very flexible. Now, are classes still online? Are they in person? You know, talk a little bit about how the pandemic's impacting that and then moving forward, you know, what you're looking at.
Yeah, excellent question. So currently for our spring semester, which we're wrapping up here in the next few weeks, we'll finish up in early May. The majority mm-hmm. of our courses are primarily either virtual or completely mm-hmm. online. We do mm-hmm. have a percentage that is kind of a blended. So they'll be on campus maybe one day a week and mm-hmm. then online another day of the week. And then we also have some that are on campus at all times. So the more traditional courses that are being offered, those really are in your more career and technical education sector that require that hands-on learning. So mm-hmm. thinking about nursing, welding that we just mentioned, HVAC, you know, those things where we really have to have the students on campus adhering to social distancing guidelines, mm-hmm. CDC, college policy, all of those wonderful things are in place. So we do have a small percentage of those courses that are running in person. Now for summer and specifically fall, we are really going to scale that number up in terms of traditional course offerings. So students and prospective students who may have kind of pumped the brakes a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. during this pandemic because they, you know, they know that they do much better in that in-person environment and can really thrive in that environment. We are increasing those. And so, mm-hmm. you know, no time better than the present to resume yeah. educational opportunities or start them for the first time, because I really feel good about the different offerings that we have mapped out for students and really any student being able to accommodate whatever their life outside of educational pursuit might look like.
No, and you, I think, are well known for your flexibility and access for students. I think you have a reputation for really going great lengths to make it work for folks.
Yes. Yes. I think that Ivy Tech has done a nice job of positioning ourselves, you know, even before the pandemic, to really being able to meet students where they are. So when this happened, you know, we were able to pivot very quickly, probably more quickly than some other institutions. So it was not a good situation to be in, but we were able to accommodate quickly, mm-hmm. which was good for our students and good for prospective students as well. Mm-hmm.
So with classes wrapping up, which is crazy, we're talking about May already. And then when do summer sessions start? Are those starting in May then, or end of May or June, or?
The first week of June. So our summer session will start that first week of June, and then classes for August will start mid-August.
Okay. And are there deadlines people should have in mind in terms of enrollment? So does summer enrollment close at a certain point and August enrollment close at a certain point?
So our registration, like signing up for classes, doesn't actually close until the course meets for the first time. And even then, you know, there are some processes that a student can move through mm-hmm. to potentially get into a class within a certain time frame once a course begins. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just keeping student success at the forefront of why we're here and the mission that mm-hmm. we serve, it is best that students be proactive in moving through this process, this enrollment process, mm-hmm. well before any mm-hmm. enrollment start date. And ideally, I think, you know, students start from such a variety of different backgrounds, and they have, you know, some students are transferring in credits, some are brand new to college. I think I'm a planner just by nature. So, you know, at least giving themselves 3 to 4 weeks at minimum mm-hmm. is ideal, just because mm-hmm. it also allows, you know, you don't want to have to really stress as you're working through what is potentially a new yeah. journey for you. Sure. And again, just we want students to be successful. And so when we connect with them, if it's not early enough and they're not able to work through, you know, there are various pieces of the enrollment process that students do have to work through. And if they're not able to, the nice thing for us is we offer courses every 8 weeks. So, you know, if June doesn't work out, then you can look at August. If August doesn't work out and everything's there, then we look at October. If October's not there, it's January and then March. So, you know, historically institutions have operated on a semester, like a 16-week schedule, but we shifted a few years ago to do more of an 8-week model. That's been very beneficial for students, not only just to stay on track to completion and to see those, you know, completion, those check marks as they go. But also for prospective students wanting to come in at various times throughout the year versus a very limited opportunity prior to. So,
no, that makes a lot of sense. You know, so same ones listening and they're thinking, okay, phlebotomy, welding, business, you know, which I, what if somebody has been out of school for a little bit or hadn't really considered, you know, post-secondary education? Some should they get in touch and talk to somebody? How would you have to help somebody like that who really wants some assistance figuring out what kind of program would be good for them?
Yes, that's an excellent question. So we actually have a career coaching office. And so students that come in, prospective students who, just as you described, are really unsure about what opportunities are out there, what I might really be interested in pursuing, we then do a referral to our career coaching office. And that office will typically have the student take a career assessment through Indiana Career Explorer prior to that meeting. That's a really good foundation for the two of them to work through when they do meet, because that assessment will show the prospective student, here are some possibly ideal career opportunities for you. And when they meet with that career coach, they'll take an opportunity to really take a deep dive into that assessment and then match those potential career choices that they have to our programs that we offer. And so it's just a really nice way for the student to learn more about themselves and what career opportunities they might be interested in, in addition to how we might be able to meet that need.
That sounds good. And then you have a mix of students, I'm assuming, who are enrolled full-time versus part-time.
Yes, we have quite the mix. Honestly, right now, more students are pursuing less than full-time enrollment.
And it makes it a lot of people are working at the same time as well, or have childcare responsibilities and other life matters, right?
Yes. Yes.
So as we're looking ahead now, you had mentioned financial aid, and I know there's a whole FAFSA process maybe you could talk a little bit about. And I know there's some deadlines coming up, but also some misperceptions about those deadlines. So could you kind of fill us in on that whole financial aid part? Because I know sometimes people are worried, how do I, you know, this is great, I want to be a nurse, but how do I pay for it? So
Yes. So the FAFSA, the Free Application for Federal Student Aid. Let's talk about that briefly. So the two things actually to start with. Right now, if a student is wanting to potentially come to us for summer enrollment, it gets a little tricky right now with financial aid because there are two FAFSAs that are available for students to file. If they go out to studentaid.gov, they'll see the 2020-2021 FAFSA, which is good all the way through summer. And then they'll see the 2021-2022 FAFSA, which will begin fall and run all the way through next summer of 2022. So step one, you know, if they're
kind of mid-cycle then.
Yes, we're mid-cycle. So those students that are wanting to pursue summer and fall enrollment would really need to file both FAFSAs. But that also is a good segue into that a lot of times there's a misconception around the FAFSA, and that especially in the state of Indiana, if students don't file by April 15th, many students are aware of that April 15th deadline in this state. And that's specific to state grants. So students, in order for them to be considered for grants through the state of Indiana, they do have to file their FAFSA by the April 15th deadline. So the piece here where I just mentioned you can currently file both is a good segue into that you can still file a FAFSA beyond the April 15th deadline for the state of Indiana. The difference being that you would not be considered for Indiana state grants, but you would still be eligible mm-hmm. potentially for those federal grants. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times there's a misconception where students think, oh, I've missed this April 15th mm-hmm. deadline. I'm going to have to wait to start school until next year because I have to have financial aid. And many students do need that additional financial support. But that's a misconception. You can file the financial aid application at any time. It's really just around state grant opportunities that there is a deadline that needs to be adhered mm-hmm. to. So,
well, that's good information. Now, I know the FAFSA is better than it used to be. You know, I went to school in the dark ages, so it used to be a much more cumbersome process. So I know it's been streamlined, but if somebody's never done it before and they need assistance, are there people who can help them walk through the process?
Yes. Yes. We have an excellent financial aid team. In addition, just to student affairs in general, you know, all of our team have been through the higher education system and had to, you know, file a FAFSA at some point through that process, you know.
And survived. Yeah.
And survived. So we have a well-equipped team to help any student through this process. And as I mentioned earlier, there's multiple ways that a student can get this assistance, whether coming onto campus or calling that, you know, 330-6013 number, and we'll connect them to someone. Likely it would end up being a virtual meeting that they would switch to, like a Zoom, so that they can be walked through that process. But it is so much easier than what it used to be to file a FAFSA. What used to take probably some people hours, honestly, mm-hmm. takes a matter of minutes now.
Nice.
You know, the FAFSA uses prior year tax information, mm-hmm. so there's no waiting on tax filing and all those mm-hmm. fun things. But you know, if you find yourself in a situation where you did not file prior year mm-hmm. taxes and you should have, connect with us and we'll talk through that process. Mm-hmm. The biggest piece I think for people to take away is just not to delay in filing for any reason, even if they don't think they have all the proper paperwork and all of those great things. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to delay. You can actually mm-hmm. submit a FAFSA as incomplete. It's still submitted. You still, you know, for students that want to be considered for those state funding, the state grant money, mm-hmm. you still want to file by April 15th, and then you have a little buffer there to complete any incomplete mm-hmm. items on your FAFSA. So
excellent. That sounds good advice. And so people should do this even if they're thinking they might want to go back to school in fall, but they're not sure. It sounds like they should do this anyway. And then they don't have to necessarily activate it or use it, right? But if they decide they want it and they don't have it, then they kind of have a problem.
Correct. I think it's better to, again, I'm a planner. So even if you're mm-hmm. thinking about pursuing education, just go for it. You know, honestly, it's going to be a great thing because when they file a FAFSA, often then they are included in communications that mm-hmm. go out both from the state, mm-hmm. the feds, possibly Ivy Tech, you know, if we're listed mm-hmm. as one of the schools that they've mm-hmm. selected on their FAFSA, or any other school that they've selected, they're going to get good information regarding, you know, college requirements or mm-hmm. opportunities for scholarships from the institutions. And those are good things to be aware of that may also factor into decisions on whether or not to move forward with signing up for those classes.
Absolutely. No, that's good advice. And so if somebody, you know, sets up a FAFSA appointment to get help with doing it, what would they need to bring to that appointment? I'm assuming tax records, income records. What kinds of things do you have people bring?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they don't necessarily have to have those things because mm-hmm. the way the FAFSA works now is everything links directly to the mm-hmm. IRS. So it is all mm-hmm. electronic. So, you know, nice. as long as they know their personal information in terms mm-hmm. of what's on that Social Security card, mm-hmm. including that Social Security number. I mean, that's really the starting point. Mm-hmm. The other piece, you know, when we think about the tax component of this and those prior year tax information, when you go to link to the IRS, you do need to know how you filed. So was it head mm-hmm. of household, single, you know, all those things, mm-hmm. in addition to the exact address as it appeared when mm-hmm. you filed, because the IRS is very, very specific there. But as long as students they have that information, we can really help them move through the process.
That's great. So no, it sounds very, so if people have questions, I know sometimes people are hesitant, you know, if you're not sure how to handle something, you've never done it before, it may hold you back, but it sounds like they definitely should reach out and get in touch and somebody could answer a lot of these questions that they might have.
Absolutely. We always encourage students and prospective students alike. So, you know, even our current students still have questions and we're there mm-hmm. for them to support them. You know, we approach it in the, we're in this together. Mm-hmm. We will help you through whatever whatever they need, honestly, from the FAFSA to career coaching and beyond.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of, like, you know, looking at the programs and course offerings, you mentioned so many different things right now. Are you seeing greater interest in any particular areas right now? Do you have a lot of people signing up for hospitality or culinary, or what are some of the hot areas right now?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So for us, with our service area, you know, we also assist counties outside of Bloomington, several of our surrounding counties. So when I think about big picture for Ivy Tech Bloomington, healthcare is very, very popular, but it's also high demand. When you think about not just the hospitals, but you have long-term care facilities, mm-hmm. Rising age of seniors in our communities, and the support that's necessary for that population. So it's very much high demand. Hospitality, of course, culinary, just management of overall food industry. Mm-hmm. There's shifts happening there, but it's in such a positive way. So we absolutely see a great demand in that area as well, given our location and just opportunities mm-hmm. in that area. Mm-hmm. So that's been wonderful. Cybersecurity, I mentioned that mm-hmm. earlier, very high demand for us, in addition to welding. Mm-hmm. We also have automotive. So mm-hmm. automotive technician, automotive service has also been pretty high demand for us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And of course, nursing is always, always in demand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know, and a lot of those programs get competitive, don't they, in terms of people interested in enrolling?
Yes. So that's an excellent point that you bring up. So we, you know, like nursing and many of our healthcare, health sciences programs are either select admission or limited enrollment, mm-hmm. just due to the faculty to student ratios that we have to maintain for accreditation purposes. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is, especially under that healthcare umbrella, there are a lot of opportunities that students may not even be aware of. I mean, we have therapeutic massage that we added a few years ago. Mm. That's an increasing area for us. We have optician, so eye care. We have an eye care program, and I know just in speaking, there's a lot out there that people are just not aware of.
So if someone's you know, not even sure and they're just starting, and obviously they can do the career inventory that you mentioned, but should they just go on the website and browse careers? It sounds like there are a lot more programs and options that people aren't aware of.
Yes, they can absolutely go to the website. So ivytech.edu, if they do /Bloomington, it will take them to Bloomington specific information. Mm-hmm. I will say there's a lot of information on our website, and at mm-hmm. times that can be a bit overwhelming to mm-hmm. students and prospective students. And so if there are any questions or they just want to sit down and talk through some of this, which many people do, that's really at the end of the day what we want people to do and mm-hmm. encourage people to do and why we're here.
Excellent. So if you're sitting out there listening, you want to think about what you want to be when you grow up for the first or fourth time, doesn't matter, reach out and give Trudy and her team a call.
Yes.
Yeah. And could you say that number one, could you do that phone number one more time, please?
Absolutely. It's 812-330-6013.
Great. Well, here's your opportunity, and either file your FAFSA by April 15th for the state deadline, but Trudy says do it anyway, even if you miss that deadline for federal opportunities. And it sounds like there's a lot going on at Ivy Tech and a lot of great offerings for folks.
Yes, lots of great things happening. And really, I feel confident in saying there's something for everyone. If you're ready, willing to pursue an educational opportunity, we have those opportunities for you.
Wonderful. Well, Trudy, thank you so much for being with us this morning and for all the great information.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And this has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Megan Ogden at Mortgage Masters, providing professional, reliable, and friendly service with your mortgage process. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website, whcc105.com or wbwb.com.